All right, we're talking about living in the supernatural, and we're also speaking on this topic now of kingdom families. I'll start reading here at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful or believing Abraham. All right. One of the things we said about living in supernatural is that Jesus taught, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. By the way, this is volume 2, part 3. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whenever you mention kingdom of God, you are right away talking about the supernatural. Okay? The natural with super on it. Y'all ever had a natural with some super on it? Okay. But it's talking about something that is above the natural way, natural thinking, natural operation, above anything regular. Regular peace, regular joy, regular gas. It's anything. It's a level above the natural level that mankind had fallen to because of Adam's sin. Like I said, all this in the Bible is about taking us back to Eden. That's why what Don Lawrence made that song, Let's Get Back to Eden, so we can live on top of the world. And you're supposed to live above these things that are in the world. And this supernatural is the kingdom of what he's talking about. Now, when you're talking about supernatural and miracles or things that are happening that are extraordinary, many times people talk about that from a certain aspect. In other words, there can be a miracle in your body. You got healed. Wow, I got healed. Thank God. Or there could be a miracle even in your finances. Whew, man, tell you, God money came through right on time. Well, how about a miracle in your marriage? If there's a miracle that's needed. And what I said is that the Bible talks about over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that we're living in perilous times. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And it goes on down and said, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Okay? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, this is going to be the characteristic of people in these last days. So one of the first manifestations of the curse was selfishness. Selfishness, self-defense. Adam, why did you do this? Well, the woman you gave me. That's why I did it. So this is interesting because Jesus came to bring a whole new aspect to living. And even when they tried to get him to say something and somehow defend himself, the Bible says he didn't utter not a single word. Kept his mouth closed. Even on the cross, they're crucifying him. He uttered words like this, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now that's love. I said that's love. And so he came to introduce this whole new kingdom. And this is the same kingdom that was in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is that place of luxury, that place that God had intended for mankind to be. It represents virtually the presence of God. And so now we are talking about this kingdom, and you and I get born again. Once we get born again, we're born into this kingdom. Now all of a sudden, we've got kingdom on our mind. We don't have a democracy because we're not democratic anymore. We are now, I'm talking about from the aspect of being from a democracy or a kingdom. A democracy is where people vote. And actually, the people who vote, the majority of the people, have something to say about who gets elected. But not so with God. God doesn't have any voting. He's already voted. And the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost said, "I." And that's as far as we need to go with that. So now he's issuing the laws, the commands that came out of the king. It came out of this monarchy, if you will, or we can call it a theocracy. And so now here he is telling us what to do, how to live, and so forth and so on like that. And so with that, we're finding out that a lot of things happen many times in the people, in the lives of the people of God, they're living in the kingdom, because they let the wrong thing come out of their mouth. And he said over in Deuteronomy, put it up, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, he said that this day I call heaven and earth a record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So no matter how bad things get, we got to choose life. Because the life of God, or the word of God, is powerful enough to change anything. Powerful enough to turn any situation around. Now, I gave you a kind of a little idea of myself and so forth. I turned it around, some things around, in the marriage. This is about 6 months after we'd married. I just felt, you know, man, wait a minute. I thought she could do this. I thought she could cook this thing. I thought, you know, all the things that chauvinists do. And so I just thought these things, so forth. But I found out that the problem was really me. And that I was causing a lot of things, that because I had an image of a marriage that was not a godly image. And I had to come back now and get the word of God. So I got the word of God and I began to confess the word of God, because the word of God is the controlling factor in this earth. Ooh, that's good. So what I had to do is now confess that. Now I began to confess it, and next thing you know, my whole attitude changed and so forth. Next thing you know, pot roast was just delicious. I mean, come on now. Phew, man. Mm. And so we were home free. And so everything turned around. But one of the first things that turned around was me. Because you live out of your image. I shared with you before how my dad used to have his car trunk. It was, you know, always junky. It had a lot of junk in it, stuff. You know, I mean, everything in it. Everything. Everything in it. And I remember saying, I am not going to let my trunk look like that. You know, I don't care what else happened. My trunk is never going to look like that. And anytime it looks like too much stuff is coming in my trunk, I have to empty it all out again. I said, no, no. So what do we say? We say that basically, maybe in your family you've had some misfortunes. Maybe mom and dad got divorced, or grandmother and grandfather got divorced, or maybe there's been divorce in your family, for people have been through divorces and so forth. Maybe three divorces. I don't care what it is. But this word is powerful enough to straighten it up. And what we have called every person in here is a transition figure. You're a transition figure. In other words, you're the one where the buck stops right here. That if stuff's been running in my family, it's gonna stop right here. Say amen to that. It's stopping right here. I'm getting rid of this disease. It's stopping in my family right here, because we're in the family of God and I'm cutting this thing off. Say amen to that. So you can be that, and you can be that person with cut off that spirit of divorce, that familiar spirit that's trying to run in your family, or that spirit of emotional attacks or some kind of abuse or something. You can cut that spirit all the way off. Say amen to that. So we said that these are the things that we are trusting that are going to come out of this teaching. Now, in this, we took you first back to Adam. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now we saw here in Genesis 1:26 where it says, "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So this is God blessing now. He is now bringing forth an empowerment upon them to be able to do something. And if you go on down to chapter 2, it said in verse 7, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, a speaking spirit like God." So now, God is first starting with the male, starting with the male man, because she's the female man. Both of them are men, but she's a man with a womb. She's a man that has different properties. Why? Because she was to be the mate to this particular man. So what happened is that now he is creating this man. So notice he goes to the dust of the ground, forms his body. Now he is not dust. God breathed into him, breathed him in there. He is the one that put this man who's a spirit inside of this clay. And so now this man becomes a speaking spirit. Verse 8, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man which he had made." Come on down to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden in Eden to dress it and keep it. Now, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden of Eden thou mayest freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, neither for the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now, here is God, and God is now giving this man the instructions for the earth. He is entrusting him. Now, understand, the woman wasn't here yet. He is giving the instructions to the man. Now, the man is supposed to make sure that he gives the instructions to the woman. But God is going to the man first, because he, in this case, is the head. Now, I want you to see something here, because I don't have time for no foolishness. What I'm saying is this. Put up Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, please. Put it up on the board. And if you put it up on the board, it says, "If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Now, I'm only teaching you the truth based on the Word of God. I am not teaching you this truth based on present cultural practices. Got it? I don't care anything about that. Right now, I care about one thing, giving you the truth. Because the Bible said the truth shall what? It's going to make you free. So I'm going to give you exactly what the Bible says. If you don't like it, don't blame me. Now, let me say that again. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't blame me. I didn't think of this. I'm going to give you scripture and verse for everything I give you. Now, the one thing I do know is that Satan is trying to destroy the foundation. Folks, the prisons are filled with 95% men. Why? Because if the foundation be destroyed. So the foundation of society is not the family. That's the first mistake. The foundation of society is this man. Now think about it. If you put up a building, you got cracks in the foundation. You got problems. But the foundation is not all there is. In other words, just because he made the man first doesn't mean that the man is more important than the woman. Because the woman makes up the walls and the roof. And if you don't have some walls and a roof, you're still going to be outdoors. Am I right about it? So the man needs to know what his role is, because lately his role has been redefined. And we need to come back to the foundation so that we make sure that the house won't shake. Is this making sense to you? Now, this is important to you now. Don't start reflecting on thoughts that happened in your life because somebody did you wrong. Say amen. I know there might be people in here that have been abused. I know there might be people, so for her, left us and the kids, so forth. I know that happened. Let me bring you back to the foundation. Because the first three marriages didn't work. We're going to make this one work. Are you following what I'm saying? And it's not anything to get angry about. What you need to get is glad that you're hearing the good news. Because God always has something good for you. Say amen to that. So this man is the foundation. So the enemy was after the seed. When he comes in Genesis chapter 3, he's coming in after one thing, the seed, the foundation. Because of the foundation be destroyed. It tells you right there. The devil reads scripture. He knows more scripture than you. He knows he's got to go after that foundation. And you get that man right, you'll get a family right. If you get that family right, you'll get society right. If you get society right, you'll get the nations right. You got to go back after that man. That enemy has always been after the seed. Save the seed. Protect the seed. So I'm saying now, in our lives, we're going to discover some things. And I want you to get a revelation of it, because without revelation, there's no restoration. You can't be restored to the place God wants you if you can't see this. So I'm saying, don't close your mind. Just stay, keep your mind open, because I'm talking about it from a kingdom perspective. Say amen to that. I mean, some of the most I've heard about this stuff is his needs and her needs. Okay, fine. What about it? You know, if that's as far as I'm going to go, I'm still out there. Because I still got needs. Okay, so as we look at this, here's Adam. And Adam was given the assignment of the earth. God entrusted it to a male man. Now, God is saying that he brought the animals before him and see what he would name and so forth, but that was not a helpmate found for him. And look at Genesis chapter 2 again, and it says in verse 21, and God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. Okay? So she was a woman. Brought her to the man. All right, let's just stop right there for just a minute. All right, rib. The word rib comes from the Hebrew word T-S-A-L-A-H. Salah. The T is silent, and many times you pronounce in Hebrew. It means literally a beam. A beam, like in a house. And this beam is characteristic of a hidden part of the structure. And without a rib, really, inside of a man's body, his body would collapse. Come on, ribs. Without a rib, without ribs, his heart would be vulnerable. Are you with me? So a rib represents hidden strength. This is strength. A rib is not visible. So it is indicative of the fact that a man trusts his woman with his heart. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Now, a rib is found under his arm, because if something's coming for the rib, then the arm swings in to protect it. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? So God now has a symbol of the arm, which is protection and provision that the husband gives to his wife. So now this rib, and it says that, verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her to the man. Oh, Lord. And brought her to the man. Now notice, he arranged to get together. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now notice this. Adam wasn't necessarily looking, but God was. Because he knew what Adam would need to complete the assignment. Can I get an amen in the house? Now in this, he then, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one. Now that was a miracle right there. How? Just like that. Two became one. So marriage is a miracle. I said marriage is a miracle. Now go with me over to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Preaching good, all right, praise God. I receive that, sister. Verse 23. Wives, submit yourselves to your own, underline own husbands, as unto... Can I cover what I want to cover here? Okay. Own husbands. Watch this. As unto the Lord. Got to underline that part. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ, keep going, is head of the church, come on, and he is the Savior of the body. So, what we're going to do here with a marriage is we're going to express Christ and the church. So, he's going to use a marriage to show people what Christ and the church are like. Because if you look right across the board in terms of Christ and the church, you'll see what Christ did for the church. He got back everything. He did the work. We are more than conquerors. He conquered, we are more. I get my paycheck, give it to my wife. She is more than a conqueror. Now, I want to teach it, y'all. The women want me to teach some more of this. Teach it. Now, understand, we're in this together because, see, we have already worked out some goals that we want to accomplish, see. See, we're working together. We're not working separate. We're laborers together with God. My wife and I are not going two different ways. Now, she might be working a different profession than me, but we all got advancing the kingdom on our mind, and we're going towards Jerusalem. Now, let me just read a little bit more of this. Can you stand it? Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to her own husbands in everything. Now, I'll get to that. That's called submission. But submission is voluntary. Nowhere did Jesus beat nobody and tell them to follow him. Say amen to that. Men must earn submission. Now, listen now. Don't take this too far. I mean, you. Men, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. See, as long as I'm doing it as unto the Lord, then you are to submit to that. You're not to submit to a man who's abusive. I'm gonna tell all of it. Cause he's not acting like Christ. Some man trying to get you to smoke some dope, that's not acting like Christ. You don't need to submit to that. Say amen. I'm just saying this man is gonna nourish and care for his wife. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I'll read it in a minute, be courteous. Courteous comes from two words. It's court us. It's forever you should be walking hand in hand. Forever. Now I'm about to preach myself under conviction now, but just hang, stay with me. I'm the messenger. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Oh yeah, opening the door for her. Honey, is there anything I can get you? Now I'm telling you that because when my wife, I mean, she goes out and get her hair done or something, and you know, I'm busy working on other stuff, trying to get messages ready, so forth and so on. And you know, you don't notice everything, but when you don't notice it, you pay the price for it. That's I'm gonna put that in there myself. I didn't see that in the book, but because she wants her husband to admire her. Say amen to that. And so let me get back to the text. All right. Now this isn't hard. It's just one, you got to bring it out of the democratic kind of thing and put it under the kingdom. You got to understand these are not suggestions. These are the ways that you will live in the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, in this, I'll tell you what, I won't go on down that. I just, let me, because there's a lot in there. So what are we saying here? Is that a marriage is a miracle. And he said that he brought the woman to the man. So the way of coming together is a supernatural arrangement. Let's go to a couple of places. Come on back here to Genesis chapter 24, please. Genesis chapter 24. We're going to Satan proof your house. Amen. Let me know when you get there. All right, now this is when. This is when God sent, Abraham sent his servant out to get a wife for Isaac. And notice Isaac wasn't there. But God knew what Isaac needed. Amen. Understand what I said now. He knows what will fit you best. Because if I let you choose, I'm just talking like God would talk. You might look at the hair. Might look at the, you know what, but you hair. Okay. My point is that God knows the future. So what might look good today? Then after a few years, all of a sudden, a person is not enamored like they were before. Whether you're dealing with a man or a woman, because there are certain things, I mean, you know, where he was all that, now he's all this. Where she, come on, where she was, you know what I'm saying? Where she was all that, now she's all this. And you got to stay there. That's gonna be the hard job, brother. That's gonna take a miracle. Okay, now. My point to you, come on, I'm trying to fix it. Let's look at one more. Let's go to Genesis in chapter 29. And in Genesis chapter 29, this is when Jacob saw Rachel. Now put something in Genesis chapter 29. No, you don't. Just put the scripture up there. I can do it. Put it up on the board, please. Scripture is Proverbs 18 and 22. Proverbs 18 and 22. Look what that says. He says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth," come on, "favor of the Lord." Now, findeth is what you need broken down. Because to find means to meet or to have someone appear to you. That's what that findeth means. See? So findeth, as opposed to going out hunting. Y'all get that? Hunting. That's not what it's all about. You're gonna get something you don't want, say, or you ain't gonna want long. No. Findeth someone who appears. And God now has got Jacob out here, and he's going on, and all of a sudden, verse 6 of chapter 29, and he said to them, "It is the well, is he well?" Talking about Laban. And they said, "He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with sheep." Okay? Verse 9, "And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flocks of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob kissed Rachel," so forth and so on. Now understand, Jacob came from fairly rich family. His brother had some bread. And notice, all these men had jobs before they got a wife. But notice what happened here. This Jacob saw Rachel. And then the Barry White music began to flow. No. And then just appeared. All the ladies that he had known. All the ladies that Bill Winston had known. And one day he goes to visit his fellow manager at IBM, Stoney Burke. And I go to visit him and I'm walking to Stoney's office and there's a desk right there, just outside his office. And I'm following Stoney into the office and I just happen to look to the right. And because I'm so cool, I went on in the office and I said, "Who is that? Who is that?" He said this, "Oh man, that's Veronica Brown. She's too religious, man." Let me tell you, never seen her before. Wasn't looking for a wife. Just appeared. Because God knew exactly who I needed. And that was almost 30 years ago. He knew exactly who I needed. Now this was put together right. Come on, men, y'all know what I'm talking about. You follow what I'm saying? And with it, we not even ever had a significant argument. I became, because I came from a broken home. So I became a transition figure. I'm going to stop this mess in my family line. Not only that, she had prayed for a man that studies the word and loves God more than her. And she got it. Now, I don't know what she said, loves God more than her, but studies the word more than her. She got it. She said, "Sweetheart, are you coming to bed?" I said, "Well, you prayed for somebody who studies the word." Hello. God will give you the desires of your heart. He knows what you'd like to have. And he's so good till he's preparing somebody. And sometimes what you have to do is understand you wait just a little bit longer because he's not only preparing them, but he's working on you. But I'm telling you, when the Lord's involved, what the Lord brings together, Lord have mercy. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to go into this idea of submission. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's just read this. We got 17 seconds here. We have to get out. Are you with me here? Yes. Are you learning something? Yes. Now, God knows you and he knows who loves you. Yes. And he's got them, he'd get them ready. I'm telling you, he's getting them ready right now. If you're not married or whatever, or looking to get married again, whatever it is, whatever the situation is, you messed up something, you got to clean this thing up, you got to get right and so forth. He's making you right now. That's why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you. Say amen to that. And he loves all of you. All of me. Tell you, doesn't make any difference. Making a difference, you know, old, young, you know, hair, no hair, teeth, no teeth. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't make any difference. I'm saying he's got somebody just for you. And they just love you. Tell them, you're going to be like teenagers. You're going to be like people on the phone. You know how we used to be on the phone? And we'll pause for about 5 minutes, still holding the phone. And then all of a sudden, somebody might say, hi. Okay. They need to hang up that phone. That's what they need. Look what it says here. Now, things have changed, and we're going to talk about that, because in the old days, the assignments were well-defined. That is that the husbands pretty much did the heavy lifting. They went out and they went hunting to get provision. And when they went hunting, by the way, that was sometimes a life-threatening experience. They would go out to get wild beasts and so forth, and they could have been killed. But they went out and got it and brought the provision back to their families. And so the wife honored and respected her husband for risking his life for her. Got it? And he honored and respected her because she had his children. And not only, or their children, and not only that, she would take care of him by washing his clothes and so forth. So the roles were well defined. See? But today, that's different. Because he says something like, all right, I'm going to put my foot down. Well, this ain't your house, so put your foot down outside somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because she owns a condo or she owns a house. Come on, she's paying the car note. Come on, help me now. She's making three times as much as he did. And don't like it, put him out. Now, my point to you is, that's where we've gone. So now the reason for staying together has to change. So we're going to talk about some of that. Because Babylon is trying to talk you in to leaving the foundation and so forth. And that's when things get really shaky. Say amen to that. So what did I say? 1 Peter? Are y'all getting something out of this? Believe me, folks, we're going to knock this thing in the head, but we're going to talk about it from a kingdom perspective, which you would really, really like. We're going to get into it. Look what he says here in verse 7. Okay, I won't go back any further than that because you might trip. Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, I've got to explain further back because, you know, Sarah called him Lord. I got to really explain that one for you. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to what? Knowledge. Now, that's not talking about head knowledge. What is it talking about? That's revelation. You got to get revelation of a marriage. What's revealed to you, be stored. Giving honor also to the wife. Watch this. As unto the weaker vessels. Underline as, because she's not weaker. She is to be treated as, okay? Weaker vessel. And being heirs together. Say heirs together. Heirs. Whatever he gets, she gets. Got it? Of the grace of life. That your prayers be not what? Hindered. All right? Now, this is a long ways from prenup. And look at verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. There it is. Not rendering evil for what? Evil or railing for what? Railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should be, should what? Inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying you can get in strife and hinder your own prayers. And you wonder why you're staying broke. Why this thing is not working. No, you need to get out of strife. Say amen to that. Amen. I allow no strife in my house. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So my point to you is there is something that is called submission. But submission is something that someone voluntarily does. It's not something that you force somebody to do or try to make somebody to do or either frighten them into doing. God gave you dominion over the fish, over the fowls, and over all the animals, not over her, not over people, or a woman over a man. Submission is a choice, and it's not to be a command. So if you have to, force a woman to submit to you, then you are no longer worthy of submission. She must submit to you because the word says it and because you're acting like Christ. So, and also sometimes, well, I won't go into that. That's all I have. Thank you very much. Praise God. We got to go. Did y'all get something out of that? All right, before you go, come on, I'm trying to stay on time. Before you go, if somebody's here and you know in your life that you're not right with God, and that through this message you've seen where, hey, I need to come into the kingdom.